So you're getting ready for a liver transplant. It can feel like a mountain of information, right? What should you be focusing on now? How can you feel more informed and in control as you go through this? Well, that's exactly what we're diving into today. We'll be looking at the AMEM advice from Dr. Tanuja's new ebook, Liver Transplant Made Simple: 7 Expert Tips to Prepare and Heal. This will help you cut through the noise and really understand the most important things you need to know.
Yes, this ebook is a really easy to follow guide for the whole experience from getting ready to going through the transplant itself and all the way through recovery. We wanted to take it a step further for it.
Exactly. We took a look at the interviews on Dr. Tanuja's Liver Transplant Help podcast. She talked to some great experts, a surgeon who does transplants, a dietitian, a social worker, and a psychologist. This deep dive is all about pulling out the most important tips from each of them so you can really understand what's ahead and be prepared for this huge step.
So let's jump right in. When does someone actually need a liver transplant? Like, when does it become necessary? Usually it's when your liver just can't do its job anymore. It's called end-stage liver disease or severe liver failure. The surgeon said the most common cause is cirrhosis. That's basically scarring on the liver that stops it from working right.
Cirrhosis, right. And that can happen for a few different reasons.
Definitely. He talked about hepatitis, alcohol-related liver disease, and NAFLD, which is non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Those are the big ones. Oh, and he mentioned sometimes you need a transplant because of certain kinds of liver cancer or genetic conditions that you inherit.
Okay, so those are the reasons you might need one. What about getting on the list to receive a transplant? What's that whole process like?
It's a pretty big deal. The surgeon explained it starts with a super thorough evaluation by a whole transplant team. And it's not just a quick checkup, it's a lot of different tests.
Like what kind of tests? What do they do?
Well, they do in-depth blood tests to see how well your liver's working and look at your overall health. You'll have imaging scans to get a good picture of your liver and all the organs around it. And they do tests to see how well your heart and lungs are working too. Those have to be strong for surgery. And something I found interesting is they do psychological assessments.
Psychological, wow. That makes sense though, given what a big deal this whole thing is. Why do they do those?
It's all about figuring out if you're healthy enough for a transplant. The psychological tests help them understand your support network. You know, who's going to help you out and if you'll be able to stick to the plan after surgery. There's a lot involved in taking care of yourself after a transplant with the medications and everything. So if you meet all the requirements, then they put you on the national waiting list for a transplant.
You're on the list. Okay, so how do they decide who gets a liver when one's available? Is it just first come, first served?
Not quite. The surgeon mentioned this thing called a MELD score. MELD stands for Model for End-Stage Liver Disease. Basically, it's a way to score how serious your liver disease is based on your blood test results. They look at things like bilirubin, creatinine, and INR.
So it shows how urgently you need a transplant.
Exactly. The higher your MELD score, the higher up you are on the list because it means you need that liver sooner. That's the main thing they look at. But it's not the only thing. Your blood type matters and your size compared to the donor's liver. And even where you are geographically, like how close you are to the donor hospital, it's a whole system to make sure the right liver gets to the right person at the right time.
Wow, that's a lot to think about. Now we should talk about living donor transplants too. Where do they fit in?
Oh yeah, the surgeon talked about those. That's when a healthy person donates part of their liver. What's amazing is that livers can regenerate. So both the donor and the person who gets the transplant, their livers will grow back, kind of like a starfish growing back an arm.
That's incredible. So what are the benefits of getting a transplant this way?
One big one is the wait time. It's usually much shorter than waiting for a deceased donor. And studies have shown that sometimes people who get a living donor transplant live longer. But of course, it's a big deal for the donor. They go through super thorough evaluations, both medical and psychological, to make sure they're healthy enough and to make sure it's safe for them.
Of course, you want to be completely sure that they're ready and that they know what they're getting into. Okay, so someone's on the waiting list, whether it's for a deceased donor or a living donor. What can they do to prepare while they wait?
Well, the surgeon had some really good advice. He said the most important thing is to stay as healthy as you can while you're waiting. That means eating a really good diet to keep up your energy and strength.
So it's not just about resting up and waiting.
Definitely not. He also said you should exercise regularly, you know, as much as you can based on your health. And this is huge if you haven't already. You need to stop drinking alcohol and quit smoking right away. If you have other health issues like diabetes or high blood pressure, you need to manage those really well too. And the other thing he stressed was building a strong support system. Having friends and family around you is so important during recovery.
All that sounds like good advice for anyone dealing with a serious health issue. What about after the transplant? What did the surgeon say about recovering well?
He had a list of super important things. First and foremost, you have to take your anti-rejection meds exactly as prescribed. Those meds are what stop your body from rejecting the new liver. Your immune system might see it as a foreign object and try and attack it, but these medications prevent that.
So you can't afford to miss a dose.
Exactly. You also have to go to all your follow-up appointments with the transplant team so they can check up on you and catch any problems early on. And you need to be aware of the signs of rejection and infection. Those are possible complications. You have to keep eating healthy and living a healthy lifestyle. And again, having a support system is huge while you recover.
So the surgeon gave us the medical lowdown. Let's switch gears to food. We talked to a dietitian. What did she say about how nutrition plays into all this?
She said it's crucial both before and after the transplant. What you eat has a big impact. The goals are a little different, though. Before the transplant, you want to stay strong, prevent muscle loss, and make sure you're getting all the nutrients you need. After the transplant, it's about helping the new liver heal, preventing infections, and recovering overall.
So before the transplant, what should you be eating? What should you avoid?
She recommends a lot of lean protein to keep your muscles strong, whole grains for energy-healthy fats, and lots of colorful fruits and vegetables. All those vitamins and minerals are important. And things to avoid are processed foods, anything high in sodium, and obviously alcohol. Oh, and this was interesting. She said to stay away from raw or undercooked seafood. There's a higher risk of infection because your immune system might be weaker.
That makes sense. A lot of people with end-stage liver disease have weakened immune systems. What about after the transplant? The diet changes a bit then, right?
Yep. The dietitian emphasized a few things. Number one is preventing infections. Food safety is super important. No undercooked meat or unpasteurized dairy. Getting enough protein is key for healing and repairing tissues. Staying hydrated is crucial too. And here's the thing, some of the medications you have to take after the transplant can cause weight gain or mess with your blood sugar. So you have to be careful about what you eat to manage your weight and keep your blood sugar stable.
So it sounds like what you eat is very personalized both before and after. Now, this whole thing is obviously a massive life event. It's not just physical. What about the emotional and financial side of it? What did the social worker have to say about that?
She talked about how hard it can be emotionally. Just waiting for a transplant is tough. And then you have the stress of recovering from surgery. It's a lot for both the patient and their families. And a lot of people worry about money, too. The transplant's expensive, the medications are expensive, and you might not be able to work while you recover. It can be really stressful to figure out how to manage all that.
It sounds like it can be overwhelming on so many levels. What did she recommend for dealing with these challenges?
She said it's really important to get emotional support, whether that's talking to a therapist to work through your feelings or joining a support group to connect with people who understand what you're going through. It helps to talk to others who've been there. And financial planning is key, too. You need to understand your insurance coverage, figure out what costs you might have to pay yourself, and talk openly with the transplant center about any money worries. Don't be afraid to ask for help with the financial stuff. And finally, she said it's crucial to have a good support network, people you can trust and rely on for practical help and emotional support.
It's good to know there are resources out there to help people. What specific resources did the social worker mention?
A lot of hospitals have their own support groups for transplant patients and their families. They might have financial assistance programs, too, to help with the costs. And she mentioned nonprofits like the American Liver Foundation. They have great information and support. Basically, she said, don't try to do this alone. Ask for help when you need it.
That's great advice. Finally, we have to talk about mental health. We talked to a transplant psychologist. What did they say about how all of this affects people mentally and emotionally?
They said this is a life-changing event. It affects every part of you. It's normal to feel anxious, especially while you're waiting. And some people get depressed or even have PTSD symptoms, especially right after surgery when they're trying to adjust to everything.
So it's not just about healing physically. What can patients do to manage their mental health during this time?
The psychologist recommends doing things to de-stress. Deep breathing exercises, meditation, or even keeping a journal to write out your thoughts and feelings. And staying connected with people is important. Don't isolate yourself. Friends and family can be a huge help. And if you're really struggling with anxiety or depression, it's okay to get professional help. Talking to a therapist can give you the tools to cope.
That's so true. And what about the caregivers? They're going through a lot too, right? It's easy to forget about their needs.
Yes. The psychologist talked about caregiver stress and burnout. They said caregivers need to take breaks and rest. They need to ask other friends or family for help if they can, and they need to take care of their own mental and physical health too. Taking care of yourself is just as important for the caregiver as it is for the patient.
That's a really good point. So we've heard from all these experts, the surgeon, the dietitian, the social worker, and the psychologist. Preparing for a liver transplant is a huge undertaking. It affects everything.
Absolutely. It's so much more than just the surgery. You have to be physically ready, understand how important nutrition is, deal with the emotional and financial aspects, and take care of your mental health throughout the process.
And it's amazing how connected all these pieces are. Like the surgeon talked about having a strong support system, and that's exactly what the social worker and psychologist emphasize too. And what you eat affects how you feel physically, but it affects your energy and your mood too. It's all connected.
That's it. Each expert gives you a different perspective, but when you combine all their advice, you really get the full picture. It's a complete approach to preparing for and recovering from a liver transplant.
So for you listening, think about everything we've talked about. What's one area that you want to focus on? What do you want to learn more about? Where could you use some extra support? Remember, being involved in your preparation and getting help when you need it are the keys to getting through this.